Into the Fold is a podcast on mental health issues, produced by the Hauck Foundation for Mental Health. The Hauck Foundation is a strategic grant maker based at the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more, visit us at hogg.utexas.edu. Hi, welcome to Into the Fold, a podcast on mental health issues. I am your host, Ike Evans, and today we are talking about youth leadership. Did you know that February is Youth Leadership Month? Fortunately for us here at the Hauck Foundation, the work of our grantees provide us with ample opportunity to celebrate young people and their leadership.
More than likely, city councilmen, school board, you know, they're not going to listen to adults. They're just going to push them off. But once you have the youth involved, the chances are more than likely to get things done. And that's exactly what needed to be done in our community. We need a change. We need real change makers. And I think we're seeing real progress now that we got the youth involved.
The voice that you just heard was Ricky Longoria, one of the extraordinary youths that we'll be hearing from in just a minute. But first, I want to jump back to just a few episodes ago, episode 88, Young Minds Matter. Our devoted listeners will recall that the episode took place against the backdrop of the 2019 Young Minds Matter conference held by the Hauck Foundation in Houston, Texas. The theme for the event was communities connecting for well-being. One of the unique and powerful voices from that episode was Marlon Lizama, a Houston spoken word artist and co-founder of Iconoclast Artists. Using his poetic skills, he warmed up the audience on the morning of the event. Here's just a taste.
Where I'm from, we live in summer. We speak in family tongues about family through neighbors' eyes. Our dialects change through ever-changing barrios, cuadras, calles, y casas ajenas. Where I'm from, La Lechuza, El Diablo, and La Llorona all become curfews, and there is no talks of American birds and bees. Reputations follow you like 14-year-old backpacks on our 14-year-old soldiers. Where I'm from, education is a thought as crazy as equality. Tree branches become a sign of disciplinary actions. Moms are mommies, tias are titis, grandpas are popos, fathers have always been gone. Where I'm from, music is our narrator, moving us like revolution once did. Young developing flowers shaking and stepping to beasts they do not understand yet. Perversion is an uncle not allowed near the kids, but is always welcome to home. Where I'm from, the dinner table is time of conferences of who needs to go get a job, who needs to go get some water, or who just needs to go. Sana, sana, culito de ranas, our doctor. Mosquitoes are always ignored, for the immune system of our ancestors is too strong. Where I'm from, neck dirt necklaces tell you when it's time to go in, along with, because you see, where I'm from, everyone is Christian and has a Catholic neighbor. Love is what is allowed, or how good a young couple is sneaking around. Babies make babies and make families close, and my chest is even closer. Where I'm from, my grandmother is beautiful. Aunts and uncles are extended parents, and everyone has a right to beat your butt. Boom, toma. Where I'm from is yellow, purple, green, and gold, and it is beautiful.
So I'll admit that I was just looking for any excuse to play that clip again. But I still encourage you to check out the full episode because it goes a long way toward explaining why young minds truly matter to the Hauck Foundation, and it directly connects to the theme of youth leadership we'll be discussing in this episode. In 2018 and 2019, the Hauck Foundation launched two initiatives that share a common theme: collaborative approaches to improving mental health and well-being at the community level. The first, Collaborative Approaches to Well-Being in Rural Communities, launched in the summer of 2018 and focuses on rural communities. The second, Communities of Care, launched in early 2019 and focuses on the Houston and Harris County area. One crucial element of both of these initiatives is their focus on creating new opportunities for leadership in communities, particularly among those who have been historically marginalized. Implicit in the charge given to the grantees is to look for and empower new leaders, regardless of age. For this episode, and keeping with the theme of youth leadership, we have brought on a panel of three young people, none of them older than 19, to discuss what mental health and well-being at the community level means to them, and how they are working to bring change. Ricky Longoria is involved with the Behold Collective of Brooks County, one of the five grantees of the Collaborative Approaches to Well-Being in Rural Communities initiative. He is joined by Christina Figueroa and Cameron Crystal, who are involved respectively with Access Health and Neighborhood Recovery Community Development Corporation, two grantees of the Communities of Care initiative that the Hawk Foundation launched in early 2019. Ricky, Christina, and Cameron, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So rather than make my intro any longer, I thought that the three of you could start us off by just telling us who you are and how it is that you came to be involved with our grantees. Cameron, you can go first.
I am a 15-year-old sophomore. I became a part of Neighborhood Recovery because I am part of Dream 77021. Basically, they kind of just called me and asked me if I wanted to be a part of this. And I was kind of hesitant about it at first, but then I was just like, okay, why not? Let me just try something new. So yeah, that's how I became a part of that initiative.
Okay, and so what things about it spoke to you or did you find interesting? I'm just curious.
The fact that their mission is basically to like access the needs of the community in a way. So like if there is pros and cons with the community, like trying to fix those cons, and if there are the pros, try to like refine those, you know?
Yeah.
So that was kind of my little grasping part.
Okay. Grasping point. Yeah, I like that. Okay, so Christina, we now turn to you. Why don't you tell us how it is that you came to be involved with Access Health?
Okay, well, my name is Christina Figueroa. I'm a 15-year-old freshman. I got involved with the Hog Foundation due to a meeting I was invited with my mom. And it really interested me due to the fact that it was many adults and a bunch of young teens wanting mm-hmm. to come together and make our community a better place, healthier. And it sparked my interest, to make my community better.
Okay. Ricky?
Hi. First of all, thank you for having me. My name is Ricky Longoria. I'm an 18-year-old college student, and the way I became involved with the Hog Foundation and the Behold Collaborative was my senior year of high school when students were asked and informed about the grant, and they asked us if we wanted to attend the Robert Lee Southerman Conference in Bastrop, Texas, and I just signed up. You know, it amazed me, you know, how they weren't stigmatizing mental health and how they were, you know, trying to make it more open to people and let people know that it's okay to have, you know, ask for help when it's needed. So that's what really inspired me to join.
Okay. And was there anything in particular that really kind of piqued your interest about it? I mean, you have some experience with some like field organizing and that kind of thing.
Yes. So I'm very good working with people. So I got involved because my community has suffered, you know, through many things. We have a high rate of teenage pregnancies, we have depression, substance abuse, and suicide. So the fact that the Hog Foundation is giving us this grant to make our community a better place, you know, it really inspired me, you know, to be a change maker to do this.
Okay. Thank you for that. Thanks for all of your answers. So aside from like the work that you're doing right now, I mean, what are your personal connections to mental health? Is it something that you've had much chance to think about before now or at any point? And feel free to share as much or as little personal information as you're comfortable with. So Cameron, let's turn back to you.
I mean, well, okay, so from my standpoint, I mean, I have like friends that kind of suffer from mental health in a way because of family members that they probably stay with. I mean, kind of like including myself. I mean, I'm not suffering from mental health. I mean, we all suffer from mental health. Let's put it that way. But, I mean, like when I look at the way my mom is and stuff like that, and like how she kind of just go from 0 to 100, like real quick. And she just like, it just makes me wonder like where that, like, I guess where it comes from in a way. Cause, yeah. So, I mean, I had an uncle that suffered from mental health. Well, it was a mental health issue. And I mean, that kind of just motivated me in a way to like make a change, because I don't want youth to like grow up and have to deal with things like this. So I feel the need to where they need people to talk to as of right now, so they can cope with those issues and have someone to talk to, because we all have mental health, like I said, and we often like to either protect that mental health or just hide it off from people. And we often don't like to, you know, we often don't like to make ourselves vulnerable in a way to just share things like that with just anybody. So, so that was kind of like my personal view on it.
Yeah, I hear that so often, you know, before you can become any kind of an expert, one thing that people seem to really want is just help in understanding their own experience. Or understand what's going on with somebody who's close to them. So thank you for sharing that. Christina, it's your turn. Do you have any personal experience, or was there anything that got you thinking about mental health?
Well, I would say both. Although I wasn't diagnosed, I did show symptoms of depression and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Due to unresolved childhood conflict.
Yeah.
So that really affected me growing up. And I just don't want to see other children go through the same thing and have to deal with the effects during their teen years. Like, that's their teen years. They should be able to enjoy carefree.
Yeah.
So I believe that's what triggered something in my mind and told me, okay, we should focus more on teens that have mental illness and try to help them. Also, I would see people around me, especially since I'm a freshman. There's a lot of people in my school. And situations have happened, and it has also told me, oh, I don't want to see them living like that. And I want to try to help and hope that many people will also come to terms with a whole mental health issue.
Yeah, and so one question that I have, Christina, is, like, has anyone ever, said anything to you about mental health that kind of helped you in your understanding, or is it mostly just something you've kind of had to teach yourself?
No, I used to have a therapist.
Uh-huh.
She was a real great help. She taught me a lot about mental illness, and she would explain to me what everything was. So I believe she is a great part of me acknowledging the mental illness.
Okay. Thank you for that. Ricky?
Oh, all right. I personally do not have any mental health issues, but I do have acquaintances who do have mental health issues. So it's really important to me, because mental health is just like any other illness, and individuals shouldn't be afraid to ask for help when they need it. Like I said, it's something that should be taken seriously just in general, because of things that could happen that we don't want to happen, such as suicide. So if you need the help, ask for the help.
Yeah. If you need the help, ask for the help. And let me just go ahead, since, since you've all been so, so honest and forthcoming, I also do have, kind of lived experience, with depression and anxiety. It's something that, I'm totally, I'm glad to be able to, to share that with people. So my third question, what have been some like key moments for each of you that kind of helped convince, I don't know if you're all thinking of yourselves as leaders yet. I mean, that's the topic of this episode, but key moments for each of you that kind of helped convince you that you have real leadership to offer on this issue. Cameron, let's start with you.
Okay, well, some like key moments that kind of like helped me come to that conclusion that I like have some leadership on this issue was basically, I can kind of say, probably attending meetings and also like kind of learning more about it.
Right.
And whatnot, because like I'm still kind of learning about like mental health as well. I mean, kind of just attending those meetings and kind of gaining knowledge about what mental health is, and just knowing that I have a voice, you know, to be able to sit in those meetings and to be able to talk with adolescents or adolescents and adults about what our issues are and what is really affecting us and how we can be able to, how they can be able to help us. Because I believe that like they shouldn't just be sitting, a whole bunch of adults should not just be sitting in a room talking about the youth, you know,
right,
without having at least some youth present.
Right.
To get our input and voice on things. So I feel like that was kind of like a key moment and some things that kind of help show that I have leadership on this issue.
Okay, thanks. Christina?
It's almost the same thing. Although I may not have a lot of experience in the meeting, the one meeting I did attend really made me desire to know more about mental health issues. And as Cameron said, it doesn't make sense to have a bunch of adults inside of a room talking about mental health issues involving youth without youth being there.
Right.
So
exactly.
I was really grateful to know that they chose me to represent youth in mental health issues, and it made me realize I can be a leader of it.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it chooses you. In fact, that's usually what happens. Okay, thanks. Ricky?
So I do consider myself and my the other individuals who are part of the Behold Collaborative leaders, because, I mean, without the youth, more than likely city councilmen, school board, you know, they're not going to listen to adults. They're just going to push them off. But once you have the youth involved, the chances are more than likely to get things done. And that's exactly what needed to be done in our community. We need a change. We need real change makers. And I think we're seeing real progress now that we got the youth involved.
Yeah. So you mentioned, you know, that people have a tendency to dismiss younger people. Do you have any personal experience with that?
I do not, but
I
witnessed it, and it's heartbreaking and disgusting to witness it, but you know, it happens.
Yeah, sure. What things are happening in your communities? They don't necessarily have to be related to mental health, that you just see going on around you that you would really like to make a big difference on. Cameron, let's start with you.
All right. Well, so like I said, so I work with the collaborative called Dream 77021, which is one of the grantees of Neighborhood Recovery. So basically this initiative is focused on the 77021 zip code in Houston, so the OSC South Union area. And I mean, what I see kind of like going on around here is I see a lot of like gang violence, I guess, and teen pregnancies and all that. And I volunteer like at one of the schools here called Foster, and I work with the little kids here. I'm actually in that room now, but I'm here, and I just look at these kids and just see how Dream Academy is making like a big impact on them. And yeah, so just avoiding those barriers, and you know, so they won't have to grow up and do things like join a gang or, you know, have kids like when they're 16, 17 and all of that. And I mean, those are just some of the issues that I see in my community.
Okay. Thank you. Christina, what do you see going on around you?
Okay, so what I see, I live around a lot of international families. I guess due to their background, they don't really want to acknowledge the fact that teens can have mental illness. And I want to change that, because I believe teens can have mental illness, not just adults.
Yeah.
I also notice teen pregnancies a lot in my school, especially.
Yeah.
It's really difficult seeing somebody so young, not even really developed, go through mm-hmm. that, and then have the trouble to take care of a child. It's something no teen should really go through unless they're actually prepared mentally and physically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hugely important issue, and we need all the leadership on that we can. Okay, Ricky.
All right. So in my community, I've witnessed dropout, I've witnessed teen pregnancy, depression, and suicide, and that's something that should not have happened in the first place, because we need to invest in our youth and our children because they're our future. And once we start investing in our youth and our children, there's going to be different, all that stuff's going to decrease. Once we have, our Boys and Girls Club was shut down, there's nothing fun to do there. And a lot of people are leaving my hometown of Alfurias because it's how bad it's turning out. I don't want that to happen. We need to rebuild the community, invest in our children so we can get these kids back to school, get them college prepared, and have something fun for them to do so they don't go and have, sex and intercourse and do things they're not supposed to be doing. And, once we start doing that, we will actually see some progress in our community.
Let's see. Cameron, you were going to say something?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to add on to what Ricky was talking about. I mean, I feel like some of the youth, now does not really have, a good support system in a way. Because I noticed that, a lot of schools in this community, they don't even have, either wraparound specialists or even just, psychologists or even just, therapists on campus. So, they can be able to go and talk, have somebody to talk to. Because a lot of youth, they don't like to talk to their parents. They don't like to talk, they don't have nobody else to talk to. So they kind of just holding all that in a way, and it just catches up with them. So they kind of find different ways to cope with it. Like we was talking about, deciding to have sexual intercourse when they're young and end up getting pregnant, or, just deciding to join a gang, just deciding to do all these type of illegal activities. And yeah.
Okay.
I would love to bring about more support systems in schools.
Yeah. Thank you for that. So my next question is, what advice would you have for adults on getting youth more involved in leadership and in their communities? Cameron, let's start with you.
I say the biggest thing is inviting them out to meetings, involving them in certain decisions that are being made. That's really the most important advice that I can give them, because that's where we need to start at, first of all. Yeah. I go to these meetings and either be me or two other youth that be there. And even when I went to this mental health first aid class, I was the only youth there. So, I mean, I just feel like, getting the word out there to them and making them aware of these opportunities that are out there for them. So, yeah, that's where we really need to start.
Okay. Christina?
I think communication is the key. Also, for adults to know that the youth have a voice. I think another way to get young people involved in the community would be to do things that we like. So some of us teens probably like sports. Do something sports related, volunteer, make people aware that this is going on in our community. Let's try to change it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ricky?
Yes, so I think one thing we can all agree on is that young people love food. Have an assembly or a forum that has food there and get these young youth excited about being change makers. I think once you advertise that you're going to have refreshments there, the chances are they're going to show up.
Yeah. Yeah, community involvement can be fun. And, adults, they find ways of forgetting that. Cameron Cristal, Christina Figueroa, and Ricky Longoria, thank you so much for taking the time. And just so our listeners are aware, the sound quality is due to the fact that they were all kind enough to jump on a conference call from their communities. And so that's why you're hearing all the background murmurings. So just, be understanding. But thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Of course.
Okay. You too. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.
In closing, I want to take you back to the Young Minds Matter episode that I mentioned in my intro, because it relates to the conversation that you just heard. In tying together the threads of rich conversation provided by the three guests that I interviewed for that episode, including Marlon Lozama, I arrived at this insight. For communities to connect for the well-being of young people, what needs to happen is the establishment of a venue for a meaningful conversation between past trauma, present uncertainty, and future hope. Well, you just heard the future hope part of the equation. Youth leadership and its role in promoting both healing in our communities and inspiring action toward greater justice. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. You can find related resources for this conversation in the episode description. And please leave us a review, subscribe to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or TuneIn. Thank you very much.